So part of our scripture, which you've heard in your hearing, will be coming from St. John. And the first part will be coming from the second chapter, right before the third that he read. It will be the second chapter, verses 23 through 25. And then I'm going to pick up and I'm going to read St. John 1 and 2 and 7. Amen? 23 says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in the name, in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. Right. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and need not that any should testify of man, for he knew of the man." And chapter 3, starting at verse 1 and 2, and then 7. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And number 7, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." And food for thought, if you will, being made new. Amen? Being made new. There is no other name above God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you because you are so good. You are so mighty. You are so powerful, God. We thank you today for your word, Lord. May it feed your sheep today, God. Use me like you never used me before. Hide me behind the mountain, God. I am your woman. This is your church and this is your word. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How excellent. Verse 7 in John chapter 3. I got quite a few verses for you today, but you know how I do. Amen. It says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." You must. He didn't say that you should, or it's okay if you decide to, but he said you must be born again. Amen? So we're going to talk today about being made new. And that was such a beautiful song sung by our children today. And you know what? I like the fact that we all sing the same song. We even make them our theme songs. That's my anthem. You know, even whether it's secular songs, y'all don't act like y'all don't listen to them. Or whether it's Christian songs, y'all turn the radio up. Turn the radio up. That's my theme song. That's my anthem. Well, I'm going to get me an anthem sermon. I'm going to get me a theme sermon. And I'm sure it's going to be around, "You must be born again." I may switch it up a little bit, but you like to hear the same songs. Well, you're going to have to get used to hearing the same sermon. Amen? Because the more you speak it, maybe the more you'll get it. Amen? And everyone may come to me and somebody may say, "Minister Davis, why do you keep preaching the same sermon? You must be born again." Well, I may tell you that I'll change my sermon up when everybody is born again. Amen? See, Jesus tells us that we must be born again. But the question you must ask yourself, are you? You must look into your heart and ask yourself. Now, I remember being a young child, of course, we had moved away from my mother all the way back in the back seats, playing around, talking, passing notes, wasn't paying attention. Y'all know how that goes. All right, all right. And so I remember when Pastor Betts was up here, and this was a sermon that changed my life.
All right.
He said, "You must be born again." I said, "What?" I kind of perked up. I said, "Wait a minute. I'm already born. How can you be born again?" I was just like Nicodemus.
All right.
Right. I asked the question, how is that possible?
Well.
And so I began to listen Sunday after Sunday. I began to have more and more interest in knowing that what must I do to be saved?
All right, all right.
Because he said you must be born again.
All right.
That made me a little scared. So I thought to myself, I said, wow, I got to figure out what I must do to be saved.
All right.
Sometimes we look at the red sky way out in the horizon. We thought that was the fire.
Well,
we said, uh-oh, fire coming one day. We didn't know whether the world was getting ready to burn down or not because we had already heard about the flood. But we said, well, this might be it. But I want to know what I must do to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Man looks at the outward appearance.
Yeah.
But how many of you know that God looks at the heart?
Amen.
Now, if you look at St. John chapter 2 again, verses 23 and 25, when Jesus discerned the heart of the people, it reads, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in him, in his name, when they saw, listen to that word, when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all the people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew about him. You see, Jesus rejected that spirit that he had.
All right.
Jesus knew what was in their heart. He didn't have to go to you or to you and say, yeah, you better watch him, girl.
All right.
You don't know about him. You know how we warn people about other people.
Amen.
Yeah, you better watch that. But Jesus already knew what was in people's heart.
Yeah.
And see, Jesus knew that as long as you're doing, and as long as you're feeding, and as long as you're healing, y'all know how that is. Some of y'all come into some money. Y'all gonna have so many friends because till the money runs out. They gonna be your friend, amen?
All right. All right.
You know, it's easy to say, I believe that God is real.
Well,
I go to church and I read the Bible from cover to cover. But are you willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him?
All right.
Have you really been born again? Are you a new creature in Christ? So if you are a new creation in Christ, the question is that he asked Nicodemus. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, it didn't explain why he came by night. Now, he may have didn't want to risk the fact that he would be seen by his colleagues or his family or his friends. And you never know, he may have been a little bit scared because this was no ordinary man. He was a member of the Jewish Supreme Court of that time. He was a ruler. He was a professor. He taught the law. He upheld the law of God that he had been taught. And he handled the rules and situations if anyone was found breaking them. But he was a Pharisee. And you know what Jesus used to think about the Pharisees. Amen. Well, they spent 2 hours every day praying in the temple. He fasted at least 2 days a week. He gave a tithe of all his money. Now, most churches would have been glad to have him. But we know how Jesus felt about the Pharisees. Amen. But what I like about Jesus is he came straight to the point. He always gets to the point. He said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, which is to say, I assure you, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You know, some church folks are like Nicodemus. They say, well, I come to church, I usher, I teach Sunday school, I sing in the choir, I'm on this committee and that committee. I'm not a bad person. I've never killed anybody. I take care of my family. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't bother anybody. And the list goes on and on. But you heard the way they say, I sound like a Pharisees to me. And you remember when Jesus told the parable of the Pharisees and the publican? When the Pharisees were standing in the corner and he started bragging about what he did. I this, I that, and I don't do, and I don't act like them. And what did the publican say? He stood there. He was a tax collector. And he stood there humbly. And he said, Lord, remember me and forgive me. He humbled himself. He didn't go on about what he did and what he didn't do. But he said, just, Lord, have mercy upon me. Amen?
Amen.
Some folks will even say, besides, we have a loving God, and no loving God is going to send people to hell.
Well,
but you're going to send yourself to hell if you don't get on God's side. Amen? You see, some of them have a nerve to think that God's, well, we all going to end up in the same good place. But I tell you, that is just not true. As a matter of fact, I assure you that won't happen. Besides, all you need to figure out is what, where you want to end up and work on that. Amen? So Jesus confronts and reprimands Nicodemus. He lets him know that that is not enough. So church, I'm letting you know that that is not enough. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you give your body to be burned. It doesn't matter what you do, but it's who you believe in, if you've accepted Christ in your heart. So Nicodemus said unto him, must be born again. After he said, I must be born again. Nicodemus said to Jesus, after scratching his head, he said, you mean to tell me that I can enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born again? Now, he knew that was impossible. So he said, Jesus, how does this work? And number 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, wait a minute. Thou art a master of Israel and knowest not these things? In other words, you're supposed to be a leader, educated along with the scribes. You studied the law. You're a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And you don't know these things? Jesus said, okay, let me help you. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And let me inform you, there are no exceptions. But there were two other times that Nicodemus was mentioned in the Bible. One of the times, you remember, he was mentioned when Jesus was arrested, right before they took him to the cross. And Nicodemus was a little different from some of the rest. Nicodemus was trying to get him a fair trial. How many in here know what a fair trial means to your life or death? Amen?
Amen.
And so that didn't work because the lynch mob had already had it out for him and already said he was guilty, guilty, guilty. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the third time he was mentioned, there was a large quantity. He came to the burial site when they took him off the cross, and he came with embalming spices. They said about 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. Now, it showed that he was a pretty rich man, but it also showed that he had respect for the Lord. And no, Nicodemus didn't seem like a bad guy, but he did seem at first somewhat misguided. But at least he was trying to get an understanding. And this time he didn't come at night. He must have seen the light. Amen. So you don't get a free pass to go around Jesus. You don't get a free pass to go around the cross. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no man cometh to me but by the Father. No man. So if you want to get to the Father, you got to go through Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only one that can give your divine life to your spirit. That is called regeneration. And it's found in Titus 3 and 5. And it reads as follows. He saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. He said he saved us through the washing of new birth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. That actually means born anew or new birth. Now, here where's the water comes in. In this particular passage, he is not talking about the water of baptism. He is talking, that is not the cleansing water. Baptism symbolizes your faith, walk with Jesus, showing his death, burial, and resurrection, which means that you are baptized after you are born again. Amen? In Matthew chapter 3 and 11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize with thee with water unto repentance. But he who comes after me is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the water he's talking about, amen? You see, he's talking about cleansing. Look at, let's see, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. It says that he might sanctify. Well, that means set apart. By and cleanse her, that means the church, with the washing of the water by the word. So he's talking about a different washing right here. How many know you must be washed by the word? You must be washed by forgiveness, wiping away of sins. But no water has ever washed away anything. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins. The blood of Jesus can wash away my sins. And I think the choir was on to something when they sang the song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Amen. That's the water he's talking about. So you get baptized after you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's the blood. Power is in the blood. Amen. We also say, he also say that we must be born of the Spirit, which is a symbol of power, which takes place in the Holy Spirit when he comes to dwell in us. That's the fire. That's the living water that the woman at the well was talking about. That's the fire. Amen. So we no longer have the excuse that when I would do good, evil is always present. Well, you need to listen and learn for the other rest of the scripture. Read on a little further. See, we like to stop right there. When I would do good, evil is always. But you have the power of God on your side. You have the power of his resurrection. There's a lot of times I wanted to do the wrong thing, but God says do the right thing. Amen. There's a lot of times when I want to tell you about yourself, but God says let it go. There's a lot of times when you want to walk away, but God says stay. Amen. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what makes us stick and stay with the Lord. The Lord gives us that power. Amen. And I'm so glad you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Your children cannot inherit salvation from you. Your children can follow your leadership in your home by praying with them and studying the Bible with them. And they should be your first priority. Too many times we let our children go and hope that they find Jesus somewhere. That should be your first priority, is to save your household. I remember my children coming to me one day, and I gathered them together. I don't have but two children, but I gathered them together, and I said, "Do you know the Lord?" Y'all were teenagers growing on up, and I need the y'all to know the Lord, because I don't want to die and leave this place without my children knowing Jesus in their heart. So, yes, they say, "Yes, we want to know the Lord. Yes, we want to accept him as our Savior." And they did. Amen. But see, you've got to make sure that your family, your children know God. You heard a sermon a couple of weeks ago from Pastor Cade talking about the rules of the house. For it says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Amen. But your children still have to accept God for themselves. So how are we saved? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. So guess what, y'all? It says it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know we already brag too much. I'm glad you can't pay your way in. I'm glad you can't get in on your good works. So it's not, your salvation is not based on your personal performance. You know how we brag and boast about, "I had to help her with her light bill. I had to keep her children. I had to loan her my car. I had to give them this or give them that." And we would get up to heaven bragging about, "I started this committee and that committee. I helped the sick. I did this on a world mission." God don't want to hear that. Because it's a gift.
Thank you, God.
And grace is unmerited favor. It's unearned. It's a gift. But you got to have faith. So when you get up to the gate and St. Peter asks you, what the password was. Do you say by the grace of God? Amen.
Right.
He's going to let you in. Amen.
All
right. The Old Testament law was necessary in order to reveal to man the weakness and inability for us to please God. But what the law could not do, the grace of God did. You see, the law says the wages of sin is death. But grace says the gift of God is eternal life. The law says man is guilty, therefore condemn him. But grace says welcome, forgive, and embrace him. The law spoke of man, what man must do for God. But grace speaks of what God has done for man. In verse 7, Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not. In other words, he was saying, don't be amazed when I say you must be born again. In other words, it shouldn't come as a shock to you that I said this. So in 1 Corinthians 1 and 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. See, God makes things happen. And it seems like a mystery to us. And it seems foolish to us sometimes. But you see, the reason God does that is because God is not going to let you share his glory. It doesn't belong to us. Only God should have the glory. Amen. For he stepped out on time and created everything. Amen. You remember when he asked the people to walk around the city for 7 days. And what happened? The walls of Jericho came down. That was God. Look at that. That was impossible to do without God. Amen. You remember also that God is looking for your faithfulness and obedience. Because if you don't do what he says, then the miracle will not happen. Amen. Right. See, it was by faith that Noah built the ark.
All right.
And yes, Noah preached the same sermon.
Well.
He said it's going to rain.
All right.
But the people didn't believe him.
All right.
But it rained. Amen. And by faith, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. He didn't know how God was going to make him a father of many nations if he had sacrificed his son. But he also knew God could raise this boy back up. Amen. It was by faith that we understand that the entire universe was formed by God. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing.
All right.
But to us that are being saved, it is the power of God.
All right.
And you need that resurrection power to make it through this world. Amen.
Right.
It is the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
Let's look at 2 Kings 5 and 27.
Uh-huh.
It tells us about a man named Naaman.
Well.
He was a leopard. So he had leprosy, and they sent him to the prophet Elijah.
All right.
And the prophet Elijah told him to go dip in the Jordan River seven times.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get off his high horse.
All right.
He was on a horse in charge of an army.
Well.
But how many know sometimes you got to get off that high horse you're riding? Amen.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of his men.
All right.
Scratching his head, that don't make sense.
Well,
to go dip in the Jordan, that muddy water, seven times.
All right.
But one of his soldiers said to him, he said, Master, why don't you just do what the man of God said? Amen.
Right.
It can't hurt.
Well,
so he went down and dipped himself seven times.
Well,
and on the seventh time, he came up clear of leprosy. Amen.
Yeah.
God did that. Amen.
Right.
They said his skin looked like baby's skin.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 8 goes on to say, the wind bloweth, and we know not where it comes from. We can't see it, but we see the effects of it.
All right.
Ask those people in Greensboro last week.
Yeah.
Y'all may not think it can happen in Lexington,
all right.
but it can.
All right.
You will see the effects of it.
All right.
And he also said that you may not understand it,
all right.
but see where it goes, God directs it. Amen.
Right.
It's just like electricity. We don't know where it comes. I don't understand it.
Well,
but I'm glad we have it.
All right.
Because I see the effects of it.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, if you cross two wires together, you'll feel the effects of it. And as I close, yes, some things seem like a mystery. And a lot of things God wants us to know. It's not a mystery. He told Nicodemus, you shouldn't be amazed.
All right.
But the greatest mystery of all is why God loves us so. When I look at myself, it blows my mind to think, how could he love us so? And then you go on down to realize in verse chapter 3, verse 16, that God gave his only begotten son because he loved us. His love is so high you can't get over it. It's so low you can't get under it. It's so wide you can't get around it. How he loves us so.
All right.
People should be camping outside the door on Sunday morning waiting if they only knew the gift of God. You see, folks so easy stand in line for up to 2 weeks, I hear, wanting to be the first one in line to get that product or get that concert ticket. But if they only knew that Jesus was offering much more than a year's worth of Chick-fil-A. He's offering much more than an iPhone. He's offering much more than some sneakers. He's offering much more than some doorbusters. Because to me, really, that seems foolishness. It's just a magnet for violence. People get in line and they get to arguing. They get to trampling over people. So you always going to have that crazy in line. So to me, that seemed foolish. But let's be honest, it is not worth the reward of sleeping on the sidewalk for up to 2 weeks. It's just no logic in it. Because half the time when you get in there, they don't even have the product anymore. And half the time they can't give you an IOU. So, but it's in the blood. How many of you know that there's peace in the blood of Jesus? There is joy forevermore in the blood of Jesus. There is salvation in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. If you've got an ailment, God will heal your body. All you got to do is believe. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, I know there's power because I've tried him before. There is protection in the blood of Jesus. There is protection from all of the world, ills of this world in the blood of Jesus. I know that the blood was for me. Because when they hung him on the cross and when they stretched him wide, that blood was for me. The power of his resurrection was for me. There is blood and power in his blood. Jesus died just for me. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll draw. He didn't tell me to get up here and draw you. He said, I will draw all men unto me. So God does the drawing. You've got the message. And in also in Corinthians 2 and 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing.
All right.
Therefore, we all are disciples of God. We all got to get ourselves together. Stop coming just waiting for the preacher to be the one. Stop waiting for you, your friend to be the one. You are the one if you know Christ. It's time for us all to get out in the hedges and highways, get into our homes, in our schools, in our jobs, and spread the love of Jesus. It's time to grow up in Christ, church.
Amen.
If you will, rest on your feet.
Amen. Good word. Amen.
Yes, yes. Good word. Good word. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Yes, Jesus.
The Lord is calling you today. He said you must be born again.
Well,
he didn't say you have to be. He didn't say you can be. He said you must be. Once you give your life to Christ, it doesn't matter if you've been a member of this church all your life. If you don't know God in the free pardons of your sin, if you don't have the Holy Spirit that dwells within, then he is saying, "It won't you come?"
All right.
He's knocking at the door.
He's
tugging at your heart.
Yes, he
because when God does the drawing, you may not have this opportunity again.
All right.
You know, we didn't see children dying when we were growing up.
All right.
Unless something tragic really happened.
Amen.
But now they dying from zero to 99. Won't you come?
Thank you, God.
I'm inviting you to be a member of God's family, not a All member right. of this church. If All you right. want to be a member of this church, you can come for that as well. But God wants you to be a member of his family.
Yes, he does. All right.
He has adopted us into his
Thank
family.
You,
we are sons and daughters of him.
Well,
I don't know how you're making it without the Holy Spirit in your
All
life.
Right.
Leading and guiding you. Because
yes,
it's a dark, dark world out there. But the Lord said nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. What shall separate us? Will you come?